You could have stayed home, stayed in the warm, but you kind of got out, and I'm glad that you did. You know, we are entering our Easter season. In fact, today we're starting our what we call our Easter series. It will be 7 weeks, 7 Sundays, and that will include a Good Friday service. In fact, I'm anticipating the Easter weekend with a Good Friday service, 3 Sunday morning Easter services. So let's see if I got it right. 8:30, 10, and 11:30. And we are looking for a great, great time this Easter, and we need your help. We need you inviting people. We need you sowing into people during this time, encouraging people, doing acts of kindness, inviting them to our Easter service. We're going to have a great Easter. I'm looking for a harvest this Easter season. Isn't that right? Anybody else? Thank you. How about this side over here? This is a quiet side today. What's up with that? Come on, Wes Hubbard. Okay. Well, we're going to start a new series today. It's called 40 Days with Jesus. And we've kind of hooked up with the skit guys. Anybody like the skit guys? And I like the skit guys. I like to use their stuff. They produce videos and that has messages. And we're going to be looking at some events and some characters. We're going to look at, today we're going to talk about John the Baptist. We're going to be talking about Nicodemus. We're going to be talking about Peter a couple times. We're going to talk about some events that took place in Jesus' ministry. But today I want to introduce you to the modern version of John the Baptist. Watch this.
I never was much of a talker. I came by it honest, neither was my daddy. Well, he got his mouth shut one time by a big old angel. I reckon that tend to make a fella careful. I got old enough, I left. I went out in the desert so I could think about it all. You know, the morning I left, my daddy, he walked me down to the river. He handed me this note. He said these were some of the words he said over me when I was a baby, when he got his voice back. He told me to chew on them. You, my boy, are going to go ahead of the Lord and get everybody ready for him. You're going to tell him that they can have their sins forgiven. Tell him that God's kindness is going to shine on them like the rising sun. I did it. I chewed on them. These words for a long time. And then these words, they started chewing on me. I felt this weight on me. So I went back to the river and I opened up my mouth and the words just started pouring out of them like a swarm of bees. I heard myself fussing at the religious people and telling everybody to get straight with God and get baptized. I tell you the truth, I wasn't even sure what I was saying, but I just kept talking and baptizing all the time with that weight on me. And then one morning, I look up, and there's this fella. He's walking toward me, and I heard myself saying, real quiet, almost under my breath, "There he is. That's the Lamb of God. He's going to take away all our sins." He walked right up to me. I saw then it was my cousin. It was Jesus. I hadn't seen him in years. He told me to baptize him. I did it. And we're standing next to each other in the river, and he's dripping wet. And I swear, I heard this voice like it's coming out the clouds saying, "That's my boy. And I am pleased with him." Isn't that something? I could not take my eyes off of him. He was shining. He's shining, I'll tell you, like the rising sun. And I felt that weight go off of me then. because I knew I had done my job. I had gone ahead of him. None of this was about me. Well, it never was. It was all about him. Well, still is.
You know, this is a time, it's real interesting. John the Baptist was quite a character. In fact, Jesus said about him, of every man born of woman, there's not greater than John the Baptist. He was a great, great Bible character. And his job, he was sent to a nation. He only preached to Israel. He didn't preach to everybody. He preached to Israel. And God sent him to Israel because they were stuck. They were stuck in a religious system that kind of bound them up. In fact, a little bit later, John winds up in prison, and in a sense, he's stuck. He begins to question his own faith. You know, sometimes we find ourselves stuck also. I don't care how spiritual you are. There's a point in time that we find ourselves stuck. It may be, sometimes it could be job related. Your marriage could be stuck. Maybe if you're a student, you feel like you're stuck in school. You're just at a standstill. Maybe it's a financial situation. You're just kind of stuck. Or it could be your relationship with God is stuck. And I think that happens a lot. I think that's something that happens to all of us. See, we're entering in, and let me say again that we do have the Bible programs, the handouts for our Lent reading. Lent is a time. Lent is 40 days. And plus 7 Sundays, so 47 days. But Lent is a time of to prepare our hearts. To get ready to celebrate Easter. But it's also it's a time of not only celebration, but introspection, where we look at ourselves. There's a lot kind of going on. You know, Lent has been called the springtime of the soul. We're in the middle of winter. What a better time. I mean, you know, it's kind of symbolic. Sometimes winter is, everything is dead. Or not dead, but it's hibernating. Everything's hibernating. The trees, some of the animals, and it just seems like everything is cold. And, you know, if you think about it, there are seasons in our lives, and I think there are times that we get cold. And that's why we're looking forward to the springtime, and hopefully it'll be warm when Easter gets here. But you think about it, a lot of times we get cold like winter in our souls. And, you know, I kind of look back, and I think about there are times of the year that, especially those of you who have children. I'm so glad my children are raised. And, you know, if you have children, you got school, and then school gets out, and then there's the sports programs. There's all of the activities that have to do with children. There's trying to get a vacation in, trying to do this, trying to do that. There's so many demands on our lives, not forgetting that we all have to have full-time jobs, and we have to provide, and we have to pay bills, and it just seems like, you know, we're going all the time. And if we're not careful, the very first thing that we let slip is our relationship with God. We get too busy for God. I want to remind you of the great scripture that Jesus said was the greatest commandment. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your mind, with all of your strength. That's spirit, soul, and body. And yet we call ourselves sometimes that we're doing that, but when we really look at it, We just kind of let things slip and slide. Everything else takes a priority. It's real easy to do that. You know, we're trying to get camping trips in, and then school starts back. You know, it gets busy when school starts back. You know, you got to buy, you know, school clothes. You got this going on. There's school activities. And then we come into kind of the what we call the holiday season. It actually starts in July 4th. Then we have, some people celebrate Halloween. Then we've got Thanksgiving. We got Christmas. We got New Year's. And it's busy, 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 busy. And we're doing all of this stuff. And if we're not careful, we kind of grow cold in our hearts. So this time of the year, this season that we call Lent, is a time that we can kick back a little bit and look at ourselves. And if we're stuck, let's get unstuck. You know, let's think about our relationship with God. It's important. And maybe we can set some things in place in our life that will keep us from getting as stuck. And I think every one of us have dealt with, I know that I have dealt with being stuck before. And it's not good when the preacher gets stuck. Because I've got to preach how many times a year, and I've got to have messages, and I got to be hearing from God. And, you know, you can get in let's call it a funk. You ever been in a funk? Yeah, you may be in a funk right now. And so this is a great time of the year as we enter into Lent so that we can take the opportunity to move toward a fresh start, an intentional pursuit of Jesus Christ. He's our Lord. He's our Savior. He should be the love of our heart. And as Joe was saying a while ago, whatever you love, you give attention to. You give attention to. And when you, a lot of times we neglect something, then our love for that thing begins to grow cold. So we want to refocus. This is a great time to refocus and retool and refire and see what God can do in our lives. John the Baptist found himself stuck. Shortly after this, and we're going to read some verses here in a minute, we're going to find out that John's ministry comes to an end, and he finds himself in jail. And he begins to question certain things in his own life. He begins to question if he was right when he said, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." I mean, he didn't just come up with that. When he looked up and saw Jesus coming, the Holy Spirit came on him, and that was a revelation of the Holy Spirit. That's not something that he came up with. And he began to question. He sent his disciples to Jesus and said, "Tell us, are you the one? Are you the one?" And Jesus sent word back to John and said, "The cripple walk, the blind see, the gospel is preached. The sick are healed." So he sent him back words of comfort to assure him that he indeed was the one. And I think there are times in our lives that we have to, as we question ourselves, that we have to go back and re-examine certain things. But let me tell you something that the Holy Spirit will do, especially if you are putting the Word of God into your heart. Here's a little side note. I take this quite often, and I'll say this. A Christian has no excuse for not reading his Bible. If you're a Christian and you're not reading your Bible, you have no excuse not to be reading your Bible. Because if you don't read your Bible and if you don't put the Word of God into your heart, the Holy Spirit has nothing to speak to you, because that's what He speaks to you, is the word that you hide in your heart. David says, "Your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you." So if you don't want to sin against God, put the word in your heart. The Holy Spirit will quicken it to you when you need it. He uses the word to bring comfort to you. So that's just kind of a side lesson. That's free. This is the one that cost you. Let's read. Mark chapter 1, verse 9. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And immediately coming up from a water, he saw the heavens parting and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. Then a voice came from heaven and said, "You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Verse 12, immediately the Spirit drove him into the wilderness. He was there in the wilderness for 40 days, tempted by Satan, and was with the wild beast, and the angels ministered to him. Now after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." So you can see John here, that he begins to question his mission. His shortly after this time, he's beheaded. But his ministry kind of comes to the end, and he finds himself in a dilemma. But his message was spot on. What was his message? Repent. Repent. Turn to God. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. And what did Jesus begin to preach? The same thing that John was preaching. He says, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel." Matthew has a little bit clearer depiction of this in Matthew chapter 3, verse 13. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and you're coming to me." But Jesus answered and said to him, "Permit it to be so for now, for thus it is the fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he allowed him. See, there's something happening here. See, let me ask you a question. Did Jesus need to be baptized? Had Jesus sinned? Why is it that we're baptized? Because of the remission of sin. But did Jesus sin? No. If Jesus sinned, we're wasting our time here today. Let me just tell you. He couldn't be the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God had to be spotless. If Jesus ever sinned one time, then he couldn't be the Lamb of God. He didn't need to be baptized. What was Jesus doing? He was identifying with us. He was identifying with humanity. I love 2 Corinthians 5:21. It says, "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." What did Jesus do? He who knew no sin was made to be sin. He took our sin. Where did he do that? On the cross. That we might become the righteousness of God in him. He identified with us in our humanity, that we might identify with him in his righteousness. And see, this is not a righteousness that is earned. This is a righteousness that is freely given. One of the reasons that some people get stuck is they begin to think that they acquire righteousness. You know, they start out, they kind of start out on the right deal, but they get in their mind that if they do certain things, they'll become more righteous. And it's wrong thinking. You're never as righteous as you are than when you're born again. Because righteousness is a free gift. Now, we grow in the fruits of righteousness, but we don't become more righteous. Righteousness is a gift. It's a gift that Jesus gave to us because he took our sin and he gave us his righteousness. It's like that our garments were dirty and his garment was clean. And he took his garment off and we took our garment off and we exchanged garments. And he took our dirty garment and gave us his clean garment. That's a picture of his identification with us. And see, that is the crux of the gospel. You know, and God showed his approval of Jesus. You know, in a sense, Jesus became stuck in our sin so we might become unstuck. So you don't have to live stuck. It's not bad to get stuck. It's just bad to stay stuck. Okay? But God approved of Jesus in Mark 1:10 at his baptism. It says, "And immediately coming up from the water, he saw the heavens parting and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. Then a voice came from heaven, 'You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" Did you know that this same thing is echoed in the Old Testament? In Psalms 2:7, it says, "I will declare the decree. The Lord said to me, 'You are my Son. Today I have begotten you.'" That's prophetic, speaking of Jesus. And then Isaiah echoes it also in Isaiah 42:1. "Behold, my servant whom I uphold, my elect one in whom my soul delights. I have put my Spirit upon him, and he will bring forth justice to the Gentiles." See, those are prophetic scriptures that point to the baptism of Jesus and what happened there. God approved of Jesus Christ. God approved of him. And he says, "I am well pleased." From that point, Jesus, the first thing that happened, he went to great lengths to identify with us. And the next thing that happened, it was that he was driven into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. In Mark 1:12, "Immediately the Spirit drove him into the wilderness, and he was there in the wilderness for 40 days, tempted by Satan, and was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered to him." So he was there. What was he doing? He was identifying with our humanity. Listen, what happened in the Garden of Eden? Did not Satan come to Adam and Eve and tempt them? Did they pass or fail? They failed. So Jesus, of necessity, faced the temptation. And you know what did Satan tempt Eve with? Something to eat. What was the first thing that Satan tempted Jesus with? "If you be the Son of God, turn these stones into bread." Same temptation. Adam and Eve fell. Jesus overcame. And here's a little secret. Again, it drives home my point that I sidelined on a while ago. How did Jesus overcome temptation? Did he do it because he was the Son of God? No. He overcame the same way that you and I are to overcome. Every time, every temptation that the enemy threw at him, you know what he did? He quoted Scripture to the enemy. Can I tell you, the devil hates the Bible. The devil hates the Bible. The devil hates Scripture. You know why the devil hates Scripture? Because he can't do anything with it if he can't distort it or deceive somebody with it. The Word of God, he hates it because it's a weapon. You know, the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. And when the Spirit of God brings alive the Word of God in your heart and you speak it out your mouth, you're gouging the enemy. And that's how Jesus defeated the devil. Not, he didn't say, "Hey, I'm God. What do you think you're doing?" No, he said, "It's written." Again, it's written. "It is also written." And you know what? The devil left him for a season because he couldn't overcome him, because he quoted the Word of God to him. Okay. Now, let's look in verse 14. "Now, after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and saying, 'The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel.'" Now we're just about done. I want to talk about this word repent for a minute. You know, a lot of times in church circles, especially evangelical churches, the ideal of repent means to be sorry, to go to the altar and cry and beg for forgiveness. And I'm not against that. I think you ought to be sorry. Okay? Sometimes I think you ought to cry about it. Sometimes I think you ought to come and pray about it. But that word repent means three things, the Greek word there. Number one, it means to rethink. To rethink. To think differently. Remember the series that we just got through with? What you hear is what you see. What you see is what you say. What you say is what you do. What you do is what you become. We're talking about how to change the way that we think. If we're going to change who we are, it starts with the way that we think. Well, repentance starts with rethinking. Sometimes we have to rethink our lives. You can't blame God for the mess that you're in. You can't. You have to look in the mirror. Now, you can't, maybe you say, well, you don't know what happened to me. I know. You can't change what happened to you, but you can change how you react to it. You can look in the mirror and you can learn to rethink certain things. You can rethink. Think a different way. If you're always blaming somebody else or your circumstance or your situation for the way things are in your life, you're never going to overcome it. You're going to have to rethink. Rethink. So repentance means to rethink. And then it means to move forward in a new direction. See, it's an active word. You know, repent. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. But you don't ever rethink and you don't ever move in a different direction. Listen, that's not repentance. Repentance has to move in a different direction than you were going. When you find out something's not right, you need to change your thinking. And then the next thing you need to do is change your action. You got to go in a different direction. See, you can repent and just keep doing the same thing over and over and over again. You're never going to be free. Nothing's ever going to change in your life. Repentance is not just a moment. It's a process. In fact, honestly, we as Christians need to learn to live the life of repentance. Repentance is part of our growth. Without repentance, there is no growth. When you see something, a way of thinking is not right, that it's not producing what it should in your life, you need to get into the Word. Find out what God says about it and begin to train yourself to think like God. That's the beginning of turning things around in your life. Well, I'm just believing God to do it. Well, He did it through Jesus. And He gave you His Word so that you could get involved and be part of the process. What do we want to do? We want to run up, come up to the front, have somebody lay hands on us fall on the floor, get up, and everything is glory, hallelujah. It don't always work that way. It may work that way sometimes. But He wants to make you part of the process because it builds character in you. It builds you as a person. Do I have to do something? Yeah, you got to do something. You got to rethink. Then you got to go in a different direction. Then the last thing is that you leave behind the old course. You leave behind the old course. Listen, if you're going in a different direction, you got to leave behind the old course. Don't return back to the old course. Why? Because it will enslave you once again. You'll fall right back into the old way of thinking. When you fall back into the old way of thinking, you'll fall back into the old way of living. That's what repentance is. That's what God wants us to do. He wants us to repent. He wants us to repent. You say, well, I thought, yeah, godly sorrow works repentance. Yes, it does. We should be sorry. When we see that we go against the love of Christ, it ought to break our hearts. It should. It should just break our hearts. And we ought to begin to seek God's thoughts where that's concerned. so that we can redirect our course in a different direction and leave the old course behind us. It's kind of pictured like this. You're walking this way. You see that this is not right. You change your thinking. You change and you go a different direction and you leave that one behind. That's repentance. That's what God wants us to do. He wants us to repent. And so many times part of getting unstuck in our spiritual walk has to do with this repentance and believing the gospel. Amen. Let's stand together. I want to ask our prayer team if they'll come. And we got plenty of time today. We're going to sing another worship song. But what's the Holy Spirit saying to you today? What is it in your life that needs a different direction? Where do you need to go? Maybe you're here today and you need to make Jesus Lord. That's the biggest getting unstuck that I know of. That's people where they really get stuck in sin. When we come to Jesus, He gets us unstuck where that's concerned. So the first step is to make Jesus Lord. And if you haven't done that, you can do that today. But if you need prayer for any other thing, feel free to come as we pray. And they'll pray with you here. Father, thank you. Thank you so much that we can change courses. That we can think a different way. That we don't have to be stuck in our relationship with you. We don't have to be stuck in life. But we can overcome. Speak to us today, Father. In your name we pray. Amen. Let's worship. Can we do that?